And I want to finish what I trust will be the last installment on the message we've been talking about. We've been talking about genuine faith, what genuine faith looks like, and how you can know whether you have genuine faith or not. We shared with you genuine faith, of course. When we say genuine faith and when we say faith, we're talking about having the faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ, but the faith of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, or the beginner and the finisher, or the one who started our faith, and he's the finisher of our faith. And we're looking to Jesus, who started our faith. He gave us the faith that we needed in order to do what he wanted us to do. We're not dependent upon ourselves. We didn't start this for ourselves, and we cannot finish it. So we look to Jesus, who is the author. He began the faith. He literally gave us the faith. As the scripture says, he has given to every man the measure of faith. Did you hear that? He has given to every man the measure of faith. So you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. That means it's his faith. You are saved not by your faith. It becomes your faith after you receive it from him, but your faith is his faith because it's the faith that he gave you. So Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The what? Gift of God. The what? Gift of God. It is the gift of God. Not from works, not from man, not of any kind of good deeds that man has done, but it is the gift of God, not of works, so nobody can boast about their salvation. Our precious young brother Dominique read that scripture so beautifully. You have to know that's a great, wonderful milestone in this house today. A wonderful move of God. And one of the scriptures that he read says, my soul will make her boast in the Lord. I ain't got nothing to brag about myself. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I will boast about what the Lord has done for me. He gave me the measure of faith. He started my faith, and he's going to finish my faith. But we have to warn you that you must make sure that you have the faith of Jesus Christ. When you receive the faith of Jesus Christ, he gives you the ability to believe on his name and to accept him and to believe in him even though you have not seen him. To believe that God came from heaven, took on the form of a human baby, human flesh, and went through all of the stuff that we go through. God gives you the ability to believe in this story that some people say is a fable, it's a tale, it's a legend, it's a myth and all of that. But you, for us, we believe and we know that God created this world. It is by faith we know that he created and he did all of this. And it moves from just a believing to a knowing, to a trusting and a confidence. And the scripture will say in a few minutes, we'll read it, it's a sure anchor for our souls. We have the faith of Jesus Christ that gives us the ability to believe
that God became a man as a baby, grew up into a man and was a perfect man, lived a perfect, sinless life, absolutely holy. He did everything that God required. He fulfilled the law. So the scripture said, Jesus says, think not that I came to put away the law or do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. I came to do what God required. Because nobody else could do it. Adam couldn't do it. Angels couldn't do it. They couldn't keep their place. Adam couldn't do it. He couldn't keep his place. Eve couldn't do it. She couldn't keep her place. Abraham couldn't do it. He's a liar. He messed up. He blew it. Nor, the scripture says, listen at this. The scripture says, Noah was perfect in his generation, but he couldn't do it. He come off the boat and get drunk. No human and no angel was able to do it for us. We needed something that nobody could do but God. So God had already planned before the foundation of the world. There is no being, there is no creature, there is nothing nowhere can do what only I can do. So I will leave my throne and I will become a man. And I'll take on snotty nose and dirty diapers just like you all. And I'll put up with all of the pressure of pressures of life that you have to put up with. And I will then let men kill me. I will pay the penalty for you. He says, I'm the starter. I got this thing started. And I'm going to finish it. And so our souls will make its boast in the Lord. He's the only one we'll boast in. But I must warn you that you have to make an examination of yourself and make sure that you are in the faith. That you really are a part of this thing. And there are some things that we've given you and shared with you that you can look for to know, am I really saved? Am I a part of this? Do I have genuine faith? If you have genuine faith is saving faith. I can believe that God became a man and he died and he got up out of the grave, and that was some 2,000 years ago, and I can believe that even though I never saw him. I didn't see him live. I didn't see him die. I didn't see him hanging on the cross. I didn't see him get up out of the grave, but I still believe it. That's the faith of Jesus Christ, and faith in Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ really is a miracle. And we share with you that the disciples were blessed to walk with Jesus and to live with him, and when they became disciples, they followed him everywhere he went. And even though we cannot see him, God expects us to do the same, to follow him everywhere he goes. Wherever he leads, I will follow. He's the shepherd, I'm the sheep. He's the master, I'm the slave. And whatever he suffers, I'll suffer too. I'm going with him. Thomas said, let's go die with him. When they warned Jesus about, Jesus told them, let's go to Jerusalem. He said, well, they said, why are you going to Jerusalem? The people tried to kill you. You going to go back there? He said, yeah, let's go to Jerusalem. And Thomas said, let's go and die with him. But when it was time for them to die, they were scared. And when he had to stand before Pilate and he stood before Herod and the Pharisees and all of them, they none of his disciples were there to stand with him. They were afraid. They were scared. And he said, the flock will be scattered. All will leave me. I'll be alone, but I'm really not alone because my Father will never leave me alone. But something happened. He got up out of the grave. And those disciples who were scared saw something that revolutionized them and changed their minds forever. And they were no longer afraid. They saw Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Thomas, who said, I ain't gonna believe until I see the wounds in his hand and the wound in his side. I'm not gonna believe until I can touch it, until I can see it. And when Jesus made a special appearance, that's what I appreciate, the fact that Jesus does that. I appreciate the fact that he is not only the God of the universe, but he's my God. And he'll come to see about me in my particular situation. So when Peter denied him, and it was time for them to come back, he told Mary, go and tell my disciples and Peter specifically. And he knew once he appeared to them and they told Thomas, they said, we have seen Jesus. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus made a special appearance for Thomas. Jesus will make a special appearance to wherever you are, no matter how dark it is, no matter how long you've been in that bondage, no matter how long you've been in that situation, Jesus will make a personal appearance, show up on your behalf just for me. So Thomas said, I won't believe until I see him. And he showed up for Thomas and said, Thomas, come on. Don't abide in that unbelief. Everybody say unbelief. Unbelief is a problem. It keeps people from Jesus. You got to get over that unbelief. And so he said, Thomas, don't be in that unbelief anymore. Come on, touch me. And Thomas said, oh, my God. Say Jesus was the Son of God, but he wasn't God. He's the Son of God, but he wasn't God. The scripture tells us that he was not only the Son of God, he was God. God in the flesh. And Thomas worshiped him and said, my Lord, my God. And if Jesus was not God, it would have been blasphemy for him to receive that worship. Because he himself said, worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he received worship. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, so you believe now. Okay, that's good. I knew that's what it took for you. But he says, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That's us. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. And so you have to make sure that you're a part of this faith. And so we said genuine faith is saving faith. It'll cause you to believe what you have not seen. It'll cause you to believe in the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ and the miraculous death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are awesome miracles. It'll cause you to believe, even though you haven't seen. Genuine faith is working faith. But first, we might say genuine faith is sanctifying faith. The old folks used to say, I wouldn't have a God I couldn't feel sometimes. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. I would not have a God, and you should not have a God that is not working on you and making you better than you could be, that you could never be without him. You should not have a God who doesn't work on you and cause you to be better than you could ever be, that you could never be without him. You would never be able to be what he wants you to be without him. If your faith doesn't do something to you and cause you to change and causes you to want to be better, if your religion doesn't cause you to want to be sweeter and kinder and more temperate and more obedient, if your faith doesn't cause you to want to be like Jesus, you don't have genuine faith. Genuine faith is sanctifying faith. It won't leave you alone. God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. This faith will work on you. Genuine faith is saving faith. Genuine faith is sanctifying faith. We said genuine faith is working faith. When you have genuine faith, nobody has to beg you to do anything for Jesus. The faith of Jesus makes you want to do for Jesus. The faith of Jesus makes you want to do for Jesus' people. He says, how can you say you love me, whom you have not seen, and hate my other children, who you see every day? And hate your brother who you see every day. No. This faith will make you love Jesus and want to do for Jesus. And it'll make you want to do for his people. And it'll make you put up with his people even though you don't feel like putting up with them. And you don't like them and you can't stand them. And they get on your nerve. But it'll make you. His faith gives you the ability to work among people who don't always look like and act like they should. Hello? And then, of course, we said genuine faith is saving faith. Genuine faith is sanctifying faith. Genuine faith is working faith. And faith without works is dead. Amen? We've said this to you before. Some people say, what church you go to? Oh, I go to so-and-so. What church? What do you do at church? Oh, I don't do nothing. I'm a bench member. A bench member. That ain't one of the gifts of the Spirit. I don't do nothing. That ain't one of the gifts of the Spirit. Genuine faith causes you to want to work for Jesus. Amen? Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your. That light is that faith in you. The faith of Jesus is the light in you. And he says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then genuine faith is saving faith. Excuse me. Genuine faith is saving faith. Genuine faith is sanctifying faith. Genuine faith is working faith. And genuine faith is enduring faith. And I want to emphasize again that enduring faith today. That enduring faith. We're just going to read the scriptures because really the scripture says it's so plain that we really don't have to do much adding to it or give. I hope it should. I hope it's as plain to you as it is to me. Sister Christian, if we can go in the New Living Translation today to Hebrews chapter number 2. We're going to read again beginning at verse 1. We're going to read a lot of that chapter. Hebrews chapter number 2, beginning at verse 1 in the New Living Translation. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may what? Drift away from it. Now please let me help you understand something. If you can fall away and turn away from Jesus and reject him, you were never a part of him. Because remember, the genuine faith, you didn't start it yourself. So you can't keep it. Either you have him or you don't. Either you have genuine faith, that the faith of Jesus Christ, or you don't. And it is all of those things. It is a saving faith. It is a sanctifying faith. It is a working faith. And it is an enduring faith. How do we know? Because you look at the life of Jesus. Did he give up? Church folk hurt his feelings. Did he give up? Did he stop attending church because they hurt him? They talked about him, called him demon-possessed, called him a wino, called him a drunkard, said he eats and drinks with sinners. All kind of evil stuff have been said about him. And people talking about him, we know he was messing with Mary Magdalene and all of that. They said all that. These nuts have even said he was, not only that, he and Judas had something going on and trying to justify their own sins. When they say John laid on his breast, they say, look at that. Look, yeah. What man you know lay on another man's breast? You know why your mind go like that? Because when that which is filthy will be filthy, and that which is pure, to him that is pure, all things are pure. To him that is filthy or evil, all things are evil. We have no, if you don't have this faith of Jesus in you, you don't respect anything sacred. They even said he was suicidal. They talked about Jesus terribly. He told them, y'all trying to kill me. They told me, what makes you think we're trying to kill you? And then he talked about how he was going to go, I'm going to die and you can't go with me. And they're like, where is he going? Even his brothers and sisters didn't believe in him until later on. Did that stop him from doing what the Father told him to do? He was beat. His body was battered. He was spat upon. He was crucified, whipped. Do you ever see him giving up? Even in the face of death. We didn't say he didn't shrink away from it. Oh, he didn't want to do it. Not in the flesh. Flesh don't want to do it. Flesh will say, Father, take this away from me. But the faith of Jesus, the Spirit of God within him, says, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but your will be done. Genuine faith causes you to endure, to persevere, and to put up with things that you thought you could never put up with. And you said, I wouldn't take that. Listen, when you come into this thing and you get the faith of Jesus Christ in you, he'll make you take stuff that you said you would never take. Make you put up with stuff that you'll never put up with. I ain't gonna ever let nobody talk to me like that. The faith of Jesus Christ in you will make you humble yourself, and you'll be quiet, and you'll be humble as a lamb, and as they used to say, you won't say a mumbling word in your own defense. And don't you think for a minute Jesus was some weak, mamsy-pamsy man, yellow-backed, jelly-backed man who couldn't put up with nothing. Oh, no, he was a strong man. He was not just a man, but he was the God-man. And believe it or not, he had more strength than Samson and more wisdom than Solomon. And more faith than Abraham. And he said, no man take my life. Pilate said, don't you know what I can do to you? And he said, Pilate, you don't have any. Only power you have was given to you. And I trust me, he said, your power came from above. Guess what, buddy? I gave you the power that you have, and you can't do nothing to me. The power you have was given to you, so you can't do nothing to me that will surprise me. This is all a part of the plan. He said, no man take my life. I laid it down. Honey, that takes a strong man to take all the abuse that they put on him for our sake. So don't think that means, if I take some abuse, that means I'm weak. No. It means I'm meek. But don't mistake meekness for weakness. They are not the same. Meekness is power under control. Power that could destroy the entire world, but it's under the control of the Holy Ghost. And though I could show you that I am the king, I'm not going to do it now. My time has not come yet. So I can't display my power because it's not my time. We got a plan, and I got to stick to the plan no matter how hard it gets. Genuine faith is enduring faith. It, you can stick to it. You can hang in there. It's tenacity. Can't be shaken, cannot be broken. So, are we there? So, we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Next verse. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape the what? The wrath of God if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and then delivered to us, the apostles, by those who heard him speak. Say right there. Now, go back, Sister Christian. It says, if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus, if we ignore the salvation that he's offering, what is that called? Rejection, but it's the sin of what? Unbelief. If you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, this great salvation, if you reject it, it's called the sin of what? Unbelief. The sin of unbelief. And that's why you read in Hebrews chapter 10, we'll go there in a minute, Hebrews chapter 10, and it says, if we continue to sin, if we continue to sin, what sin? It ain't talking about your regular sins. It ain't talking about your smoking, your drinking, your cussing, your fornication, your lying, your homosexuality. All that. No, it ain't talking about that. See, you do all those things because of the original sin in you. You do all that stuff just because you have the sin nature. Jesus didn't come just to deal with your lying, backstabbing, lowdown. Come on, you know what. Come on, call your sin out. Yeah, come on. Oh, come on. Jesus didn't come just to take care of that stuff because he knew that wasn't the real problem. We do that because of the sin nature within us that was passed to us from Adam and Eve. So David said, I was born in sin and fashioned. What was going on in me? He had to come and deal with that sin nature. And if we continue in the sin of unbelief, the scripture says, there remaineth no more sacrifice. If you reject this, nothing else can help you. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? The book of Hebrews talks about all about enduring and making sure that you got this and you stick with it. And you'll know that you have the faith of Jesus Christ, that you have genuine faith because you'll be able to stick with it. And don't mistake people Listen to me carefully. I'm not justifying in any kind of way not coming to church. I believe the saints ought to come to church. Why? Because Jesus came to church. And because the word tells us to come to church. And to meet together and to assemble together. And said, don't stop, don't forsake it. But don't mistake people leaving our church or leaving a church to leaving Jesus. They're not necessarily the same. Okay? Because people can get hurt and disillusioned by people in the church and they leave church. Not necessarily that they reject Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we do understand, and the devil knows this. If you really want to beat your enemy, do you catch him when he's young, or do you wait till he get full strong? You don't wait till you get fully grown and strong and all of that. That's why when God told the Israelites to go into a certain land, say, kill everybody, including the little babies and everything. Why? I ain't worried about no baby. I ain't scared of no baby, but that baby gonna grow up. And if that baby has that wickedness in him, that baby will take over me and come and kill me. Hello? So what the enemy will do is do evil stuff in the church, cause us, we do stuff, evil stuff in the church, and it hurt young babes in the Lord. And sometimes they never recover. It's called, we shipwreck their faith. They were sailing with Jesus, and we did something stupid, and it caused their faith to be shipwrecked. That's why you know you did something wrong, or some young believer saw you do something wrong, go and apologize. Go and make that right. Even if you didn't do anything specifically to them, if you did it in their presence, if they saw you and you were not doing something right, you go and let that young believer know, I was not doing what was right. Don't hold this against Jesus or against our master. He did not sanction this. He did not tell me to do this. This was my sin, my evil, and I've done wrong. And I'm sorry I did wrong towards you, even though I didn't hurt you personally. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? We have to be careful. So it says, if we reject this message that was delivered by Jesus Christ himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak. Let's keep reading. And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whenever he chose, that's the Holy Ghost, right? Did you hear that? You don't get miracles because you want them. You don't get miracles because you speak them. You get miracles because he chooses. You can only get a miracle from God. You can't earn it. Just like you can't earn salvation, you can't get a miracle from God by doing good and earning it. You certainly cannot demand it. He did signs and wonders and miracles among them as he chose. Are y'all with me? Go back and read it again. Make sure we got it. Make sure we got who's in control here now. And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the, all this stuff is of the Holy Spirit, whenever he chose. Keep reading. And furthermore, it is not angels who control the future world we are talking about. No. For in one place the scripture says, what are people that you should think of them, or son of man that you should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. All right, we're going to move on down, Sister Christian. And I want to go to verse, verse 10. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. That's us. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. That's us. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into. How do we get in here? He brought us in. Fit to bring them into their salvation. He brought you in. How did you get in there? He brought you in. He brought you in. He brought you in, and I was thinking about how some people believe that we as believers can fall in and out of the Lord. You got to quit thinking that, because you didn't bring yourself in. You didn't bring yourself in. It wasn't because you came and gave the preacher your hand. It wasn't because you got baptized. It wasn't because you spoke in tongues. It ain't because you don't wear particular makeup, or you don't wear certain kinds of, your skirts are all the way long to the ground. And don't get me wrong, I ain't got no problem with it. I wish more of the saints would do it. Did you hear what I said? Don't get me wrong. I ain't speaking. What I'm saying to you, saints can be fashionable, but we ought to be fashionably holy. Fashionably holy. Nobody should be able to see anything and know nothing about you. Oh, come on, don't. I know y'all don't like me, and I keep saying I ain't gonna talk about it, but I should not be able to read your measurements. One of them sang a song. Her body measurements are perfect in every dimension. She's got a figure that's showing us get attention. She's built, oh, she's got all the curves a man like. I ought to go and re-record that. But hear me out, saints. Hear me out, women of God. I should not be able to see your and read your measurements by your clothes. The only way I should know your measurements, Dr. Reginald, is because you married her. Did you get that, Reg? That's the only way I ought to know that much about you. Because I married you. Now tell me, somebody stop me if I'm wrong. Come on, shout me down. All right. So, but some people say we have to do all these different things in order to get in here. But Jesus brought us into this salvation. And remember, we talked about how Noah brought his family into the ark and all the animals into the ark, and then God shut the door and shut them up in there. When Jesus brings you into this salvation, he shuts the door. Jesus is the ark. He brings you into the ark of safety and shut the door behind you. So you can't even leave if you wanted to. But you don't want to, because the faith that you have in you is not faith in Jesus, but it's the faith of Jesus. And Jesus cannot deny himself. He can't turn away from himself. Some people say, well, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah, but you got to remember, I get baptized not because I want to be saved, but because I am saved. And I'm following Jesus in baptism. Watch this. And so people say, they read over in 1 Peter where it says that baptism, it gives the example of Noah and how people were saved through water. And it says, we are like that. We are, when we are baptized, and it suggests, if you don't understand it, it suggests that Baptism saves you. You ever read that, Anna? And anybody who's a real student of the word, it'll mess you up because, wait a minute, it seems to suggest that water baptism saves you. And it uses Noah as an example. Now listen at this. Noah didn't get baptized in water. He was baptized from water. They were saved not by getting in the water. Come on. Listen. Did Noah and all those animals and his family, did they get saved in the water? What saved them? They were in the ark. And baptism doesn't save us. What saves us is we're in the ark. They didn't get in it, even though Peter used that as an example. Noah didn't get any water on him. So the water didn't save him, and the water don't save you. It's your being in the ark that saves you. Your baptism is an identification about the fact that you are in the ark. Call Jesus. All right, come on, I'm sorry. I just get caught up in some of the details that are there that are not obvious, okay? So now Jesus and the ones, I love this one. I love this one. Because see, some of y'all think you're holy on your own. Some of us in here think we are holy on our own. You know how you know you think you're saved? When you look down on somebody who is doing something that you used to do or that you want to do, you just didn't get the opportunity to do it. Hello? Oh, I wish I had somebody in here who understands the reason why I am holy. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy. That's why you're holy, because he's made you holy. I didn't do this thing on my own, so no man can boast. I've been made holy. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. Do you hear this? Jesus had made me a part of the family. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Did you know that? That Jesus is not, particularly his position is not our Father. Yet he's our God, but his position is that of our brothers and sisters. We have the same Father. We come from the same seed. Next verse. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among the what? Assembled people. Who is that? That's us, the assembled people. Read that again. Jesus said it. Jesus said, thank you. That means, wow, I love this. He comes to church with us, and he worships with him. He worships with us. Listen, and the Bible says, by him we offer the sacrifice of praise. By him, through him. Do you know Jesus comes to worship with us? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and I am the worship leader. And through him we offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. Did y'all get that? When my hand went up, it was because he was in me, working in me. He said, come on, baby, let's do it. What? Come on, sister. Come on, brother. Amen. Brother, amen. Sister, come on, lift them hands. Lift those holy hands. I know what you've been like, but look, I'm making you holy. Come on, lift those holy hands. He calls those things that be not as though they were. I know you did something unholy last night. Oh, come on, let's not even go that far back. You did something unholy this morning. You've had some unholy thoughts.
But he says, I'm making you holy, and I make you worthy to come in here and lift up those holy hands. Oh, God, I don't feel holy. Lift up those holy hands. Lift up those holy hands to this holy God. It ain't about how you feel. It's not about what you've done. Baby, I'm working on you. That's why I'm not going to stop grieving you. I'm not going to stop messing with you until you stop doing that stuff that I told you not to do. Oh, we're going to get to that, but you have to understand there's a time for everything. There's a time for God to grieve me about my sins. And then there's a time for God to say, lift up those holy hands, even though they may not look like it. Lift up those holy hands. So whenever you feel something, say, lift up those holy hands, and then you hear something else say, you can't lift up no holy hands. You know what you did. That's the devil. That's the devil. So Jesus says, you lift up those holy hands in the sanctuary. He says, for he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters, and Jesus, I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Did you know Jesus trusts in God? That's what he said. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Read. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood. The Son also became flesh and what? For only as a human being could he die. Because see, God can't die. So he can't kill him, can't put him out, snuff him out, you can't pray him out, you can't do nothing. Ain't nothing you can do to get God out. Ain't nothing you can't get away from him. So he had to become a human like us so he could die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil. We talked about that. Go back. We talked about that in Bible study. We talked about whether we have power over sin. See, we've been saved from the penalty of sin, and we've been saved from the power of sin. That is, this is the question we ask. Can we as Christians live holy? Can we live holy lives? Can we actually say no to every sin? We can, but we don't. And we probably won't. But you cannot use the excuse, I can't help myself. You cannot use that if the Holy Ghost is in you. You cannot say, I can't help myself. Because the Holy Ghost in you can do all things through Christ and the Holy Ghost who strengthens you. So you can do it. You can say no to him, to her. You can say no. We just used to saying, yeah. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. See, we don't have to be afraid of the devil, and we don't have to be afraid of death. Because the devil is a defeated foe. And death has been defeated too. And we got to deal with both of them. But we don't have to be afraid of either one of them. Did you see it say he broke the power of the devil? He broke the power of your flesh too. And you don't have to do what the devil or the flesh or the world tells you to do. Come on, let's read. Next. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering,
and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Another word used there, tempted. Hello? Jesus said no to every sin. Amen? And we can grow in the Lord so that we become more faithful in doing and obeying God and saying no to sin. Chapter 3, verse 6. It's just 11:33, saints. I'll have you out before 12. How about that? Yeah, that's funny. I heard the funniest thing. I ain't never heard this before in 30 years of preaching. 30, I think it's 30, maybe it's 31 now. Since Christian, is it 31? That's pitiful. Man got to ask his wife how long he been preaching. In 31 years of preaching, Sister Rachel, you'll find this interesting. Somebody actually told me, and I ain't going to call no names, that I actually preached too short. Somebody in this church actually said, Pastor, that was a great message. It was just too short. Rachel said, unbelievable. That man has never preached a short message. I'm just kidding, Rachel. Somebody, he never preached a short message. I know you call me long-winded, all that stuff, but that I thought that was beautiful. That says where that person's heart is. They said, I wanted more. That message was too short. So I say to them, I didn't preach too short at that time. It was just that the message was to be continued. Amen. So here we go. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house. See that? But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, that's the family of God, and we are God's house. See, we're not just in God's house, we are God's house. We're not just in the temple of God, we are the temple of God. And it says, you know that you are God's house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That's why I said some people can leave and stop coming to church. But that doesn't necessarily mean they stop believing in Jesus. I don't suggest it, but I just want you to understand that God does have some other sheep that are not of this fold, that don't attend church anywhere. For whatever reason, they're outside, they don't assemble together. Usually it's because of some hurt or some confusion. And that's why the enemy loves to come and bring confusion in the house of God. Amen? So we must keep our faith, keep our courage, and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Verse 12, Sister Christian. Of 3. Be careful then, brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. There's that word. Unbelieving. Now notice that if the heart is evil, it's because there's unbelief in it. But see, that means that heart has not been made over by God, because it's evil and is unbelieving. The heart that has been made over by God is not evil, but it is good
and it is believing. It is a believing heart. But he says, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Next part, turning you away from the living God. What turns people away from the living God? Turn from God. It's because their hearts are evil, not saved, evil, and unbelieving. Do y'all see that? Evil and unbelieving hearts turn away from God. They not only stop going to church, they say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. I don't believe in God anymore. And some of our children get like that, and some of our relatives get like that. And I know I've had relatives say that to me. I don't believe in God. Can you give me some money? If you don't believe in God, you can't get no money from me, because everything I got, God gave it to me. So now, if you don't believe in God, no, you can't get nothing from me. Go get it from whoever, whatever you believe in. So what you believe in yourself, then go get it from yourself. Because you can't get nothing from me if you don't believe in God, because everything I got, God did it. God gave it to me. What I know, he taught me. Where I am, he brought me. What I got, he bought it. So if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe in me, because ain't no use you come to me, because this is God. How dare you talk about you don't believe in God and you don't even know he's the one who's keeping you. The only reason you have breath is because he's keeping you. But we get caught up in this world and this foolishness, and because we don't get what we want, then we want to get upset with God. You got some nerve. Yeah, I done call myself been upset with God, but honey, I come back to my senses real quick. God, I don't understand, huh? I come back to my senses real quick. I'm one of those children, mom ain't got to beat me. She can just look at me. And I know what that means. You know, I told you, my mama was abusive. Honestly, I thought she was an angel. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't see her do any sin. I thought she was an angel. But, honey, she was abusive. We used to sing in the choir up there. And one time, one of my sisters and brother, I can't remember who it was, but one of us was acting up, and she took her shoe off. She played the piano. She took her shoe off and boom, bow. Honey, that hit me with brooms and just all. One time I was in a hurry. She was in a hurry getting ready to leave. Her ride was out there, and she was getting ready to leave, and she had to whip me. So she couldn't find a switch and all that. Tell me, go get that switch. And I act like I couldn't find it. What? Go, what? I don't know what you want. She grabbed a broom and I'll see you when I get back. I started to call Scan on her. I was too scared. She might whoop Scan. That's what they called it back there, Scan. I'm gonna call Scan on you, mama. Call Scan. Here's the phone. I'll give you the phone, Negro. Call Scan. Bet you I ain't calling no Scan. All right. How did I get there? Where were you, Sister Trish? You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Deceived by sin. Deceived by the devil. And your heart get hard against God. God will not do everything you want him to do. He doesn't owe you that. He doesn't belong to you. You belong to him. He doesn't belong to me. I belong to him. I have to do what he tells me to do. And it is in my best interest to accept whatever he says and whatever he allows. Are you with me? it's in my best interest to always go ahead and be honest with God and tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. He said we could do that. But let's be like Jesus and end our prayer with, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Thy will be done. Amen. I wanted to finish, but I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me to stop now. Amen. We're going to pick it up again. We'll pick it up again and finish. Genuine faith is enduring faith. Amen. Pastor Sims, if you'll come and pray of confession, give someone the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus.